Who in the New Testament, out of the New Testament authors, mentions prayer the most? Trish, you can't answer. Sorry? John? Paul? By the way, both of those answers aren't correct, so we're still looking. Yeah. This author wrote two books, that's all. That should give you a huge clue. Because you can bet it wasn't Peter. Doctor by the name of Luke mentions prayer in his two books more than any other author in the entire New Testament. More than Paul. Even if you include Hebrews, more than all of the other epistles. What does Luke write? What books did Luke write? Book of Luke and the Book of Acts. What are those? It's our history. It's the birth of the cowboy church. Isn't it? Luke starts from the birth of Jesus Christ and takes us through the whole formation of the church of Jesus Christ through the book of Acts. And through that time, over and over and over again, prayer is front and central. Jesus, as he interacted with his Father, as he spent time in prayer, and the apostles, the disciples, as they went out and ministered to the world, prayed over and over. Those two books contain prayer more than any other author. Do you think prayer might be a little bit important? We're going to talk about prayer today. And yes, we finally get to the book of Philippians. I've been promising that to you for a while. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians. And if you don't, where is it? If you don't, we actually have some out in the back you can grab. Philippians chapter 1. Losing my bookmarks here. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, because of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Father, I ask that as we look into your word, that you would be our teacher. That we would hear your voice this evening. Father, that the words that come from me would be quickly forgotten, but that the words that come from you would burn into our souls forever. Father, bless this time. And Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to do maybe a little different sermon style than you're used to. I don't know. With me, yeah, I get used to everything because they're always different. This is a style that I like, though. We're just going to take a look through this passage. We're going to walk through it and notice some things. How many of you like to go for walks? You like to notice things as you go for walks? That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to stroll through these first five verses and just notice some things. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus to all of the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Let me ask you a question. Who are you? saint. Wow. A saint. Now, you might think, yeah, Paul was just saying that to Philippi because he liked them a lot. How many of you know the book of 1 Corinthians? You're familiar with that one? One of the smaller books in the New Testament, right? Do you know why 1 Corinthians is so huge? Because that's how many problems they had. You know, someone once said, we have so many problems in the church today that we have to go back to Scripture to try to fix. And it's like, well, did you ever think that they had them back then? Because if they didn't have them back then, we wouldn't have the Scriptures written so that we could fix them today. They had the same problems. Corinth was a church filled with problems. I mean, they had incest, they had lawsuits, they had stuff we don't even have today. And Paul calls them saints, the sanctified ones. What does it mean to be a saint? Child of God? Separated. How many of you know Greek? It means the holy one. But oftentimes we equate the word holy with righteous. And that's not always accurate. Holy means to be set apart, to be separated. See, Trish is holy to me. She's set apart from every other woman. She's sanctified for me. She's mine, and I'm hers. That's holy. That's set apart. That's taken out of the midst of everybody and said, you're special, you're mine. We, as believers, as Christians, as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, tonight are saints. Oftentimes we like to play ourselves down and say, yeah, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know what? God never calls you that. Not once you become a Christian. Not once you accept the sacrifice that he made. You were a sinner, but now you're a saint. You're set apart. You're plucked out of the midst of everybody. And God says, you're mine because I love you. Because you're special. Why am I so special? How many of you have grandkids? How many of you have grandkids that are still like in arms? What do they do to make you love them? They cry, they scream, they don't sleep, they create awful messes and stenches like you wouldn't believe. What is it about a baby that makes us love them? They are a pain in the neck. What did you say? Exactly. They exist. They exist. And because of that, we love them. See, God loves you because of the wonderful things you've done. Because of how good looking you are. Because you're the chairman of the board of the Cowboy Church. God loves you because he is love. I'm sorry, guys, it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. God loves you because you exist. You have responded to him and accepted his salvation, which makes you one of his special ones, a saint. Remember that about yourself. This world that we live in throws us garbage day after day after day. And sometimes just living in this world, we feel coated in crud and worse. How many names are we called every day? But what's the truth about you as a child of God? You're a saint. You're special, chosen by God, set apart for relationship with him. Never forget that. That's something that I'm going to be reminding you of all the time. Because I need reminding of that all the time. Because our world hammers us with so much filth and garbage and negativity. But God says, no, you're mine. You're saints. But at the same time, Paul says, I'm a bond servant. I'm a servant. I'm a slave. I no longer belong to myself. And that's important too. As Christians, we need to remember that. Our life is not ours to control. It's not ours to dictate. It's not ours to live. It's His. Because we are saints, because we are set apart, because we are holy ones, He has the right to tell us what to do. He has the right to tell us where to go. He has the right to tell you to put on a cowboy hat. At least He did for me. For 13 years, He had the right to tell me to try to learn to speak Russian. Whew. Cowboy hats are easy after that. See, we belong to somebody else. The real question is, do you trust Him? That's a whole nother question we'll deal with another time. But you have to know that God set you apart for Himself. You are a saint. If you are sitting here as a Christian, as a fellow believer in Jesus Christ, you've accepted the blood from the cross to wash away your sins. You today are a saint, and you belong to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. How many of you have bad habits? Those of you who are not putting up your hand have the bad habit of lying. How many of you, the confession is good for the soul, right? We're in church. Sure, why not? How many of you like to eavesdrop? Listen in on somebody else's, oh my goodness. You know, coming back from Ukraine, it was really hard. As you're shopping in a supermarket, and you find yourself following along behind somebody and listening. Because I can understand what they're saying. I don't mean to eavesdrop, but suddenly I can understand. And then the person turns around and is like, eavesdropping gives us the ability to learn about a person, doesn't it? When you eavesdrop on somebody else's conversation, you learn a lot about those two people. Not very nice, something that we shouldn't do. Except for tonight. Tonight we're going to eavesdrop a little bit on Paul as he talks about his prayer life. Paul is talking about how he prays and about what he prays. And we're going to listen in. See, you can learn a lot about a relationship when someone is talking about the person that they care about, or they're talking about conversations that they have. We want to listen in to Paul. Get a little glimpse of what he's talking about, of what his relationship maybe with this thing called God is really like. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, because of your salvation in the gospel, because of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. I thank my God once in a while when you cross my mind every other month or so. Yeah? How often does Paul pray for the Philippian church? Every time he thinks of them. Every time they come across his mind. Every time. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. All right, men, it's time for us to fess up. How many of you have ever bought something at that lovely little Swedish store called IKEA? You bring it home, you open the box, and you go, I got this. Yeah, no problem. Jamie's shaking his head and Sylvia's nodding. I got this. Sure you do. Yeah, right. 6 hours later, 75 words you're not supposed to know, let alone use later. It's in more pieces than when it came out of the box. And what does your wife say? When all else fails, read the instructions. Of course, ladies, how many of you actually follow a recipe? Nah, I got this. I got this. But it doesn't taste quite right. Is it supposed to walk across the plate on its own? Why does it pop when you chew it? Is it supposed to do? When all else fails, read the instructions. Follow the recipe. See, the problem is most of us are that way with prayer. I have done everything possible that I can imagine to fix this thing and it won't work. Darn it! I guess I gotta pray. Too often, that's when we put prayer in. Nothing else is working. Might as well pray. Can't hurt. That bugs me. When all else fails, pray. Really? I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. How frequent do you pray? What's the frequency of your prayers? Paul, as we listen to Paul, he prays to God lots. Every time he remembers his amazing stay at the Philippi Hilton. You remember that place, right? We talked about it last week. You know, the one with the special jacuzzi in the floor? The prison? Takes an earthquake to get out of? Every time he remembers, he thanks his God for the Philippians. Every time they cross his mind, he says, thank you, Lord. Every time. How often do you talk with your God? I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you. We're going to keep eavesdropping and see what kinds of things Paul uses when he prays. He prays with thankfulness. Whew. How about you? I don't know about you, but I struggle with negativity. I do. You're going to find that out sooner or later, so I might as well just fess up now. Because if you haven't talked with Trish already, you already know that some days I am just, yeah. Everything around is just, I thank my God. In every remembrance of you. Now, you would remember all of the responses that we saw last week as we talked from Acts chapter 16 about Paul's time in Philippi. Not even enough men to create a Jewish synagogue. Got so angry and so frustrated that he lost his temper and cast out a demon, which landed him in the dungeon. After getting beaten, which was illegal, by the way, Paul was a Roman and that was illegal. You want to talk about unjust punishment? I thank my God every time I remember you. I have to ask myself, how often do I thank my God for our governments? How often do I thank my God for policies that I think are moronic? How often do I thank my God for the struggles that he allows me to go through to make me stronger and to make me depend on him? It's not easy. Don't kid yourself. Don't hear me say, oh, yay, we should be thankful for everything. No, it's hard. Because sometimes life is brutal. But I dare say that none of you have spent a night in a dungeon yet because of your faith. None of you have been beaten to the point of death. And yet Paul could still say, I'm thankful. I thank my God. Paul's prayers were filled with thankfulness. But you know what else? And this is kind of striking for me. Always offering prayer with joy. What is prayer with joy? If we open up that little three-letter word, joy, you know what it really means? You know, there's a really simple English word to describe that word joy. It means delight. Extreme emotion. Paul is delighting in his prayer time for the Philippians. He's not sitting in a cold corner going through his prayer list, somber, Father bless, Father bless, Father bless, Father help, Father. No! Do you read what it says? Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Not once in a while. Not when I remember Lydia's good cooking. In every prayer that I make, I offer my requests with delight. How can you do that? Oh, I need to take a breath here. I'm getting too intense. I want you to imagine with me for a moment talking with someone that you delight to talk with. Don't answer me, but think about that person. Who is that person that you delight to talk to? It just breathes life into your soul to talk with them. It makes you smile when you think of those conversations. You can't help but chuckle because they're such an amazing person. And these conversations just fill you with delight. See, that's what Paul is saying about prayer. Always offering prayer with delight. Man, I love to pray for you guys. Because me and God, oh man, we have such a good time together when we talk about you. Oh, it's fantastic. Paul's prayers not only were very, very, very frequent every time he remembered them, but every time he prayed, he was thankful. And he prayed with delight, prayed with joy, offered his requests with joy for these people. What does that tell you about the relationship? Not between Paul and the Philippians, but between Paul and his God. Let's go back to verse 3. You notice what he says? I thank my God. This wasn't, I thank someone up there who has more power than me. No. My God. And I'm thankful with him, and I delight to talk with him. We hang out together, and we have a good time when we pray. When's the last time you had a good time when you were praying? when you could look back on your prayer time and say, ah, that was awesome. I just feel so energized. So I love talking with God. This is the level of relationship Paul has with his God. Paul was extra special, wasn't he? No. He wasn't. He put his shoes on the same way you and I do, except that he wore sandals, not boots. He even had to go to the bathroom. Do you know that? See, we paint these New Testament people as some kind of superheroes out of the Marvel comic book world
or movies.
But they're ordinary people. We saw that last week when Paul got so angry that he lost his temper and wound up in jail because of it. These are normal guys. Just like you, just like me. James tells us that.
Elijah, the great prophet,
was a man like you and me. And when he prayed, it didn't rain for a long time. When's the last time you went, oh, can't wait to pray again? That was awesome. You know, I stand up here and I say these things. And someone told me once a few weeks ago, wow, certainly gave me a butt kicking tonight. I says, yeah, just remember, every time I give you one, that's because God's been giving me that one all week long. See, I have to ask myself the same thing. I'm pastor here now. I'm your shepherd. How much time do I spend praying for you, my people? Am I thankful? Do I pray with delight when I think of your faces? Yeah, that's because I've only been here a month, right? Give me another year. See, this isn't just for you, it's for me too. What's my prayer life like? I was actually accused of this once in Ukraine. It was kind of strange. I thought it was strange. Someone came up to me after a service once and says, why do you call him your God? Because he is. He is. My God, because I have a personal relationship with him, and because he died for me. Now, he did the same for each one of you. Just as much as he's my God, he's your God in an extremely intimate and personal way. And he's waiting for you to say, God, let's do coffee. Every morning, I sit with God over a cup of espresso. I don't know what he drinks. I drink espresso. I can hardly wait to get to heaven, man. The espresso there is going to be killer. Have you done coffee with God recently? God, let's just sit and talk. I'm thankful you're alive. I'm thankful you're here. I'm thankful you love me. Because I don't know where I'd be if you didn't. I'm thankful for the people you've put into my life. I'm thankful for the idiots that you put into my life that teach me patience. I'm thankful for being the idiot in other people's life so I can teach them patience. God, what makes you smile when you look at me today? You ever asked God that? What makes you smile when you look at me today? God loves to hear his people pray, especially when they get it and they realize, just like Paul, that this is a personal connection, person to person. It's not a collect call. It's not operator, would you help me? This is one-on-one with a real live person, God. Who loves you and is smiling at you. I mean, he loved you enough to die. He loved you enough to do everything that was necessary to make you one of his saints. When's the last time you hung out with God and just spent some time talking? Paul had a deep, intimate, personal connection with God. How is your connection with God? We're going to move to the communion table. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. And as we do communion this evening, I want you to be thinking, what's my connection with God like? Am I kind of interacting with him like he's some sort of supernatural being somewhere up there who is a force to be reckoned with? Or is he a person that you love to spend time with? I want you to reflect on that as we get ready to have communion here this evening. For those of you who haven't been here before, the ushers will guide you around the building and you'll come and collect your cup and your bread and then go back and sit in your seats and then we will partake together. Okay? And don't worry about the music team. They're extra special. We've actually had communion before so that they can minister to you in music. As you ponder this thought, what's my connection with God like? Is there anything I'm holding on to that he wants me to let go of? Is there anything that I'm not doing that he wants me to do? It's his right. You are a saint as one of his children. You are his servant. Come, let's share the table together.